for the past month and a half, NPR's newest program, Invisibilia, has been exploring the invisible forces that shape human behavior. Things like thoughts, fear, categories, and expectations. This weekend, the show ends its pilot season with a visible twist. Joining me in the studio to talk about it, co-hosts of the program, Elise Spiegel and Lulu Miller. Hello to you both.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, so we said Invisibilia is all about invisible forces. This week, you're looking at something different?
We are looking at computers.
Okay, Lulu.
Are very visible, but the way that they affect your behavior isn't always.
Okay, so at least invisible ways that computers affect their behavior. Tell me more.
Right. So the first person that we decided to talk to about this was actually a cyborg. His name is Thad Starner.
Okay, what do you mean by a cyborg exactly?
So essentially what happened was in 1993, he's in grad school. He goes to see the Terminator. And in the Terminator movie, you know, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger and he kind of views the world through a screen, which is actually in his eyeball.
Yeah, it was like weird Google Glass before Google Glass ever came
right.
to be.
So Thad sees that and he's like, that is cool. And Thad goes home and over the course of a bunch of months works with a friend to create a computer that he can wear on his body. And then he jerry-rigs the screen to these goggles so that he has a computer literally sitting in front of his eye. And then he has a keyboard for one hand. And then he programs it so that, you know, he's constantly taking notes on everything around him.
He's wearing all this stuff
he's
as you're talking
he wears
to him?
All the time he is wearing this, and it is constantly tracking his interactions in the world. And then he programs it with something called the remembrance agent, which, let's say you and I have a conversation and we haven't seen each other in 4 years. Well, I type your name in and the remembrance agent in his eye presents all of the information about you that has ever been entered into the system and gives him information about you as he is talking to you. And what he found is that having that changed his social relationships. And we actually have a clip about that.
I would have information like, yes, Kenji, I know your last time we talked, your daughter was going to college. So how's she doing? What's she majoring in? Would I normally be able to pull up those facts? No, I won't even remember that Kenji has a daughter.
And did that change the way that people responded to you?
Oh, yeah, of course, because suddenly you're interested in them.
Or maybe the machine is interested in them.
You know, there's a question that sort of circles around about computers in circles of people who think about this stuff, which is a computer unlike any other tool that exists in human history? So is it like a plow or a microscope?
Tools that humans have created to augment who they are. So the question is, like, is a computer a tool like any other, or is its power to change us so much greater that it is in its own category?
And the way I think it's fair to say that Thad would answer that question is, yeah, maybe it really can change us in a profound way. But for him, he found it made him a deeper human in the best of ways.
The idea of computers really being intertwined in our lives, I mean, aren't there some real negatives or potential negatives to explore?
Yeah, and there are. So we also look at that in the hour, and we hear about a man named Pete and his experience with the computer. So Pete started out basically like Mr. Rogers.
Some of us grew up watching on public television.
Okay. Yeah, and Mr. Rogers famously once said, if there's one thing that bothers me, it's seeing one person demeaning another. And Pete basically sort of felt the same way. Have a little clip from him.
The whole treat everybody fairly thing, you know, that's like my big thing.
And one of the places that this most bothered him, the place that he saw sort of the most grave offenses of humanity, was on his daily commute on the New York City subway.
A pregnant woman on the train, you know, you would think everybody would just real quick get up for her. But it doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen. People keep their heads down and pretend they don't see them standing there.
And these sort of minuscule cruelties would, like, break Pete's heart every day. And so one day, it was 2009, Twitter had recently become mainstream, and he decides he is going to start up a Twitter account dedicated exclusively to documenting rude behavior on the subway.
Calling people out on social media.
Yeah. And it was kind of a new idea at that point. You know, shaming sites are now a thing. But at that point, it was kind of a new idea. And so he sort of did this as a way of what he felt was sort of restoring the moral balance in the world. If you are rude and you have your feet up on a seat, then you're going to be held accountable. But over time, he sort of changed into exactly the kind of person he originally hated. And the tweets started to get really, really harsh. And so in the hour, we talked to him and we also talked to scientists about are computers behind this change in any way? And if so, how?
Behind the change and turning us into crueler people in a way?
Yeah, yeah. You can almost think of the internet as like a foreign planet where gravity moves in a different way and pulls on you in a different way. And so there's all kinds of people trying to just get very systematic about classifying how things pull on you differently and what's different about interacting there. And so we go into some of that. One really quick example is the idea of validation. From the body's perspective, the feeling you get when you go and rant to a friend about something that's bothering you and then they say, you know, David, you're right. That is almost like a tonic. It cools your sort of overheated, angered system.
I'm feeling better just hearing you say that.
You know, you're right. And the internet is really good at giving you that feeling because suddenly you can get validation not just from one person, but like 30 or thousands. And so the potency is just one thing that's new. And like any sort of drug, people will do all sorts of things to get it, and it can become highly addictive.
So that's like one of the ways that Lulu looks at how the kind of the social physics on the internet work differently than the social physics of real life, where we're all sitting here together talking to each other.
Well, we're sitting together talking to Elise Beagle, who was the last voice you heard, and her co-host Lulu Miller from NPR's newest program, Invisibilia. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks.
And if you have missed the show, Invisibilia, on your public radio station, you can download all of the episodes at npr.org/podcasts or on itunes.com/NPR.